Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love what's for to be.
What's for to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious
years
of memory.
What joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long what's more to be.
What's more to be with my friends at the old country church.
But greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word, Father, we want the Holy Spirit with us to give us guidance, Father, and to anoint us, Father, with your authority and your power, so that the words that are spoken were not ours, Father, but they are yours. Keep us upon the right pathway. And Father, if there be any listening this evening, or that will listen to this later, that is walking with sickness or disease, we're letting them know that they are healed by stripes of Jesus. And if they will claim that and stand on it with their faith, they will find the work to be done. Just because something don't happen instantly doesn't mean God's not working on it or that he's not bringing it to pass. But he has a reason for all things. And sometimes it's a little while, little ways down the road before we see the results of our prayers. But we are told to pray to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. And he says, I will hear from heaven. And you know that I hear from heaven. Then you can have your wishes. Now, sometimes our wishes is not really what we need. But Jesus knows what you and I need. And he will work accordingly to keep us where we need to be. Now, Father, open our hearts in our minds to receive this your word this evening. to help us to walk stronger in faith, stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, stronger with the Holy Spirit, so that we can do, Father, the things you call upon us to do. We ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. You know, when we started this every evening services, I let you know then it was for the purpose of us going through the entire Bible before we actually give up on it. And the way that the Holy Spirit led me was that on Monday and Tuesday we'll be in the Old Testament. We already had several verses there. Wednesday I will be reading to you the book of Revelation. We have several chapters there read already. Then on Thursday and Friday, we'll be in the four Gospels. That's where we will be tonight. We'll be in the Gospels. Saturday and Sunday, we'll be in the New Testament, or from the book of Acts on. All right. Now, tonight, we're going to be picking up here in Matthew chapter 3. You say, we've all heard all of this before. Why do you want to go through it again? Because Moses forgot most of it. And a lot are walking away from it every day. There are others out there. And as I said, I want us to go through the complete, so each thing, the Old Testament, the reading of Revelation, the four Gospels, and the New Testament, has all been from the very beginning of each one of them. Now, here it says, verse 1, chapter 3, says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven even being at hand in his day and time. But you see, there was still a lot of things that was to happen according to God's plan, not man's. No one knows the day or year. But we do know one thing. If we read any at all in the Bible, then we should know that he is coming back for his church before he comes back to this earth to set up his 1,000-year reign. You see, when he comes at the church, he's not coming all the way back and setting foot on the earth. He's coming so far on the cloud. And then, as the trumpet, and as the scripture says, the voice of the archangel, he's going to call the church out. And we will go and meet him there in the air, and go on them to be with him. Verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is John the Baptist preaching here. So I want you to think about that. because he also tells us some things that mankind has changed. He made a change way back, 60 years or so back, that really started a lot of our churches sliding down instead of looking and growing up. Now, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and the leather girdle about his loins, and his meal was locusts and wild honey. How would you like to live on that? But this was his meat, as the scripture calls it. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now think about this. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But they went to him for repentance and to be baptized by him, which in that day and time was right. It's not anymore, but it was then. You see, Jesus even went to him and was baptized. Now, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruit, meat for repentance. In other words, get yourself right. Get yourself ready for repentance. You know, John was rebuking the Pharisees and all. And he was even asking them for evidence of fruits for their repentance. And you know, he goes on there to let us know that there can be no doubt that the New Testament concept of repentance grows out of its usage in the Old Testament. But you see, the difference is they were baptized in water for repentance, and you and I are not. We have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent. And he will give us our forgiveness. Then we are baptized in his name, because we have to put him on. Most of our churches today do not baptize that way. They are still baptizing by John's baptism, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. But you and I are to be baptized in Jesus' name. We find that. I don't want you to tell you something that you can't find in the Word of God. So if you go back into 1 John, you'll find there, I mean the book of Acts, I'm sorry. If you go back into the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, you'll find it. When Peter preached that first message on the day of Pentecost to somewhere around 3,000 or so, when he finished, they asked what they must do. And he told them, he gave them the plan of salvation. And he told them to go and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You may not get it all at one time, because you may not be at the point to where you can handle it. And God will not give you something that you can't handle. He'll work with you until he gets you to the point that you can handle it and know what it's all about. Because you see, we do have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people don't understand that, what that really means. I am going to deviate a little bit from here and take you back to the book of Romans. And we're going to go to the 6th chapter, because I don't want you hearing something and saying, that's not so. That's not Bible. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, this is what happens to you. This is what's happening while you are being baptized. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You hear what the Word of God's telling you? When you're baptized in Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. You see, when I'm baptizing you and I lay you back in under that water, I am burying you with him. You're putting on his death. And when I raise you up out of that, you're being brought forth in his resurrection. And this is what the scripture reminds us about. Into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Your life should change when you are baptized and baptized rightly in Jesus' name. If you've done it in sincerity and honesty, your life will change. There's no doubt about it. He goes on here to tell us, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust of thereof. I'm going to quit reading there, but I wanted to read it to you so you'd know that what I was telling you is the word of Almighty God. Now you can take the services over. If you go to the sixth chapter of Romans and read it, you're going to find a little more depth than where he's at. But you will get the full revelation of what baptism is about and what it does at the time you are baptized. Now, if you back up here, we're going back up here to verse 5. Then went after him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, Sadducees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, I read that to you before. I took you back to show you the difference in the two baptisms. He baptized for repentance in water, but you have to repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And think not to any within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You see, we don't have to go through that today because we go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are different from the New Testament and the book, from the book of Acts on back. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of the four Gospels, a lot of that word, that does pertain to you and I. A whole lot of it. But we need to know when he's speaking and to whom he is speaking to. Not only John the Baptist, but the Lord Jesus Christ also. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's giving us a warning and a shadow of ourselves in our lives. And what will happen when we do not live according to this word of Almighty God. Verse 11. John here is talking about baptism. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. You see, he's telling you exactly what I just got through telling you. He baptized you in water for repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We know that was sent back to mankind from God on the day of Pentecost. And that's when the church age began. And that's what you and I are living under. We are living under the church age. Because, you see, you and I are the church. It's not that building we hold meetings in, although the scripture calls them churches, just like we do. But He tells us who the church is. When it comes to the real church, that you and I, the Lord's church is within his people. The beginning of all of this, you see it in God's word. Exactly what I'm telling you. Now, whose hand is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garden, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There again, we are being warned about going to a place of fire. We know that to be at the end and at the great white throne judgment, that Satan, all of the demons, and all that does not make heaven their home, and hell itself, will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the scripture says, the worm never dies. You will live on forever in that pain. What excruciating pain that will be. I don't want that. I want to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's nothing on this earth, nothing or no one that is worthy to trade being with Jesus for and accepting that lake of fire. No. Don't do it. Find out what God wants of you. If you haven't accepted Jesus yet, at the end of this, we will have prayer. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent. And begin the study of God's Word. And a good place to begin is here with us. Because I will be having services each evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We don't have an excuse at all, because God has gave us everything we need in order to make heaven our home. But we, a lot, they want to go their own way, do their own thing, and they want too much of this world out here, too much of the things it offers, that is keeping them away from Almighty God. And you'll be learning a whole lot about that if you just stay with us. All right, now, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, I told you Jesus was going to be baptized of him. Because, you see, Jesus was born. He was born Jew. They are still under the Mosaic law. When Jesus came to this earth, they are still under the Mosaic law. And they will be under the Mosaic law until the Lord Jesus Christ dies, buried, and was resurrected and back to heaven. And then he sent the Holy Spirit back to man. We'll be going through all of that later on. So don't worry. You're going to be seeing it. Now, but John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John's letting Jesus know, you know, I need to be baptized of you. Here you are coming to me. You see, John was right. He was thinking and what he was talking about. Because he did need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But also, Jesus needed to be baptized even under the law. Because he came to fulfill that law. Not do away with it. In 15, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He says, becometh us. You and I were created in the image of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he's telling us. He says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now you and I, we wasn't born in the time of the Mosaic Law. We don't have to keep that. We have got to keep the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. And we've got to keep God's word in what we do, what we say, how we spend our life. And we can only do that by the word of Almighty God. And when we don't take time to study his word, we don't take time for prayer with him, then we are not going to have a way to keep it as we should. And he tells us in here, and we'll be getting to that a little later down the road. He also tells us in his word, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You need that fellowship. You need that love. You need that word that can come from the church. But make sure the church that you find that you are going to be a part of, preaching and staying in the word of Almighty God and not preaching things that are contrary to God's word. I'm going to give you just a little example of what I'm talking about. Because we're almost to the end of this chapter. But since I've made that statement, I want to show you what I'm talking about. You can go to a lot of services and they'll mention the name of Jesus time after time. And they'll give you certain scriptures of different types and different kinds. But they're breaking God's laws all the time by not giving you the rest of it and the truth of God's word. We've had here in Meade County, Kentucky, we've had two churches to close and got a couple more that's on the verge of closing because they had women pastors Oh, now, Pastor Tony, you shouldn't say that. I didn't say it. I told you, but the Word told me. The Lord God is telling us both. You go to 1 Timothy, the second chapter. We begin here with verse 9. You see, ladies, God tells you everything you need to know. I'm not just on ladies. I'll be on the gentleman, too, that's not doing right. He warns us here in 9. He's warning you ladies here in 9. Well, let's go to 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. He's telling the men a little something there. But he gets a whole lot more of you. Verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold or pearls or falsely arrayed. Listen to that, ladies. 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. There in 12, he says, but I suffer not. That word suffer, look it up in the dictionary, means to allow or permit. So he's saying, but I allow not, nor permit not, a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. And he goes on there, turn the page here, deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And he goes on to tell her, but notwithstanding, if she, when she becomes a woman of God, she'll be saved and childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Ladies, just because he don't call you to pastor church don't mean he doesn't have work for you, because he does. And he has a lot of it for you. And if you would do that, if you would do the work that he has for you, you wouldn't have time to do a man's work anyway. Think about it. Now, but he gets stronger than that about the lady pastor. So if you will, and you want to follow with me, and you can get there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now here in chapter 14, he's speaking mainly to a lot of men, but also he's speaking to the whole church, because they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. And one is actually the misusing of a gift of God, the gift that God gave, and they misuse it. And a lot of that is going on today. But I wanted to clear up this about the ladies, because we were using this as an example for what we were talking about. Here in verse 31 says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You see, they use verses like that to tell a woman it's all right. But that wasn't what he was talking about. He was actually talking about him speaking in tongues down to that point. Now he's getting ready to change. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All churches, listen. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out of you, or came it into you only? No. Can any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You see, everything is to be done decently in order. Speaking in tongues in the church should never be done with the whole church doing it at one time. Or this one popping up, and that one popping up, and another one over there popping up, and another one popping up, until half the church has done it. That's also here in this 14th chapter. Just before I started reading about you young ladies, that was what we were picking up. And I'm going to read it to you. You see, tongues are given to you and I for self-edification. We're to use that when we're talking to God. Mainly. Now, here's what the Word of God says about it. It says, how is it that we're still in chapter 14, verse 26? How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edify. In other words, to edify means to be helpful to all that's there. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. This is in the church. And then by course. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. You see, you can use them in the church if there's only two or three of you going to use them, but then you have to have one that has the gift of interpretation in order to edify the church, to let the church know what has been said. And if you don't have someone to interpret, and most don't, then don't use it. That's God's word, not mine. That's his. But we've got a lot of them out here going the other way. Now, we're going to come down here and we've just about finished here with this baptism of Jesus. Verse 16, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, that is also when Jesus' ministry began. Really began. Because even with him, he was here in the flesh, just like you and I. His mother was a Jewess. His father was the Holy Spirit, that's true. But Almighty God was put there in the womb by the Holy Spirit. But you see, he was still to be raised as man. And there is several things you can get from that. He is also an example that we can live our life without sin in it. Because you see, that's the only way we're going to make heaven our home. Once we have been to Jesus and been forgiven of our sins, and we have put Christ on, we've been baptized and put him on, then we have to live our lives righteous. That's also why we need the Holy Spirit. He's going to be getting into that a little later on too, and exactly what that means for you in your life. So many don't like it. They deny it. They reject it. They downplay it. And they'll end up, if they don't actually come out of darkness and into the light, they'll wind up in hell, in that lake of fire. All right. We're going to stop here now, picking up with our next study of the Gospels in chapter 4. If you want to read it in the meantime. But anyway, let us go to the Father in prayer. I'm going to start out with a prayer that if you're not saved, you haven't been to Jesus, and you want to be, then repeat this prayer with me. Most gracious Lord Jesus, I know my life is not right. I'm a sinner. But Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness for my sins, all of them, each and every one of them. I'm sorry for them. I want you, Lord Jesus, in my life. Come and live in me. Make me one of God's children. Use me according to his will and his word. I will always praise your name and thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. we pray. Now, Father, for each and every one that is listening to this tonight, I pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will touch upon each and every one of them. If they have a sickness, an illness, any type of disease, crippled or whatever, Spirit, let them know that they don't have to live that way, that they have been healed by the Lord Jesus' stripes. It's already been given. They have to receive it by faith. Walk in it. Claim it. And Father, they'll see it come about and happen. Let them know, Holy Spirit, that it may not all happen at the same time, but it will happen, that they will stand in faith, continue to believe that the Lord keeps his promises. Well, Father, for our families, we all have family members that is in need of Jesus. Work with them. Help us to bring them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus. Father, those that travel every day out here on these highways, watch after them. Keep them safe. Because, Father, our highways are growing more dangerous each and every day. We need your protection, Father, everywhere we are. Because our own government is turning against your people. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work with all of your people. Bring us all together to where we can stand together, Father, and bring this land back to repentance and put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Myself, Father, keep me the rest of this evening. And as I lay down tonight, Father, let me rest. Raise me in the morning, Heavenly Father, to meet another day. In the name of Jesus. And in accordance with your will and your way. Father, you know what this ministry needs. It's in your hands. Now, Father, be with us all. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, I pray. Amen. All right. God bless all of you. Be careful out there. Stay safe. Good night, all.